Well, hey everyone, welcome to the Park Ridge Presby Podcast. I'm your host, Amanda Joria, and I am really excited to share today's conversation with you. It's probably one of my favorites, but then again, I say that about all of our guests because we get to bring such incredible guests on the podcast to share their stories. Today on the podcast, I am joined by two of my students, Molly Shanahan and Kelly Carroll. They are seniors at Maine South High School. They grew up in Park Ridge. They grew up at our church. And they sat down with me to talk about what's it like to be a senior right now and how have the last 18 months of the pandemic impacted their college search, how they feel being high school students, and how their mental health is doing. These young women are so impressive and they have a lot of wisdom to share. I learned a lot from them and I think teachers and counselors, pastors and parents have a lot to learn from them too. I hope you enjoy today's conversation. I hope that this, along with everything that we do, helps your faith make a difference for you every day. Well, thank you guys so much for being on the podcast today. I'm really excited to share our conversation with our listeners. Kelly and Molly are seniors at Maine South High School, and I met them when they were little bitty freshmen. And now you guys are starting your last year in high school. And you're some of our oldest students involved in our youth program. And so I pick on Kelly and Molly a lot to help me out and advise me on what we should do and designing t-shirts, which Kelly, by the way, I have a t-shirt for you.
Yay!
From our mission trip. But Kelly and Molly are great students and great leaders here. And the younger girls really look up to you guys. I'm really glad you're sharing a little bit about what it's like to be a senior right now with our listeners. So Kelly, why don't you go first? Tell us a little bit about your connection to Park Ridge Presbyterian Church, who your family is, and what you do at the high school as a senior right now.
Yeah, so I'm Kelly Carroll. My mom is Rosie Carroll. My dad's Dan Carroll. Been at the church ever since I was born. Everyone seems to know me because they knew me when I was little, but then sometimes I struggle to remember who other people are. So it's just always like, I got a lot of friendly faces, but it's really nice. At school, I'm a Hawk Pride leader. I'm a PE leader. I'm in NHS. I'm in Irish club. I play varsity badminton. I also play lacrosse outside of school. So kind of hyper involved, but I like to do it. So it's fun.
So you're not in band anymore. Was that a hard choice for you?
I mean, it wasn't really my passion, is a good way to put it. So like I liked it, but it just, the amount of time it took up in my life was not worth it. And also I wanted a class this year that would help me go into architecture, which is what I want to do as a career. And so I'm taking CAD and art, which will help me with that. So it kind of took the place of band.
That's awesome. Those are very like adult decisions to have to make. Like, is this thing worth my time? Is a thing I don't think I ever asked myself once as a teenager. Like, not at all. So that's awesome. Yeah. Molly, tell us about yourself. You are also a senior at Maine South. What else can you tell us?
Like Kelly, I've been involved with the church since I was like an itty bitty little kid. And my mom's like heavily involved. And my brother was kind of like involved when he was in like middle school and high school. So I've always been kind of like involved, like how Kelly was, like through my family. But things that I'm involved in at school are yearbook, Southwards, that's like the newspaper at Maine South, Key Club, Irish Club, Spanish Club, Spanish NHS, Empower, Model UN, and I'm also a PE leader.
That's a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
You guys are both in Irish Club. You said one thing, I didn't know what it was, Molly, and then Kelly, you were a Pride leader. So Pride leader and then Empower. Can you guys tell, what are those clubs? Because I'm not familiar.
So Hawk Pride is like where upperclassmen help lead the underclassmen and like give orientation day to freshmen, show them around, make sure they feel welcome and know what they're doing.
Gotcha. And what's Empower, Molly?
Empower is like the feminist club at Maine South. So like the W in and Power is capitalized for like women. It's a very cool club. And we have like these really cool t-shirts with all these different like feminist icons on them. And they're all in these like cool pastel colors.
I love that. And NHS, for people that don't know, is National Honor Society, right? Key Club is the Kiwanis Club. So that's like a service club. I'm trying to think of anything else we might need to define for people that don't speak high school.
PE leaders, maybe?
Yeah. What do you guys do with that?
Junior year, we take like a PE class where we get trained to run a PE class. And then senior year, we get put with a teacher and we kind of help them because they're all over the place. Like PE classes are sometimes 40 or 50 kids. So we help run the PE class with them.
That's awesome. So you would run like a freshman or a sophomore gym class like with a teacher? Cool. Yeah. Very cool. Okay. So I wanted to have Kelly and Molly on the podcast to help tell us a little bit about what it's like becoming a senior after, I feel like for a while we were saying after the pandemic, and now I feel like I can say very much still in the pandemic, in the third year of pandemic school for you. End of sophomore year, pandemic began. All of junior year, pandemic. Starting senior year, pandemic. That's so much of your time in high school. What was starting school like for you guys this year?
Go ahead, Mom.
Okay, sorry about that. Starting school this year was very chaotic, in my opinion, because it's like our school got like very like remodeled in the last like year and a half. So all these different classes were like in new places. Like I have an art class and it used to be in like the V wing right by like the auditorium and everything. But now it's like right by the like A wing where our core classes are. So it was very confusing to find all of these different classrooms, and it's just very hectic with like different schedule changes and like switching around classes and like with the communication we've been getting is like via email, but then sometimes like teachers make mistakes and it's like, oh, it's like this day instead. So it was like a very chaotic start, I have to say.
Yeah, I agree with that. Also, I definitely agree that like so during the pandemic, like when we had school online, we would be able to like get up and move around in between your passing period, because your passing period would just be you in your bedroom. And so you could like go get food, something like that. But now since we're in school for the full 7 hours, it's just so like socially draining. Like it's not just like it's boring or anything, because I am having fun and I like to learn, but it's just I'm so tired when I come home.
Yeah, I was thinking about that when I was talking to some of our younger students. They started sixth grade this week and they're really nervous about, you know, being sixth graders. And one of the things they were talking about is just how long the school day was going to feel, because it had been so long since they needed to like be on for that many hours in a row, you know? And even at like people like me, like pastors talk about that. Like anytime we're leading a big group or we're at church with a bunch of people, we're like, we're on all the time. That's so much energy that you're like putting out. And I don't think I realized until you guys were talking about it, that that's how school is, that you've got to be on that whole time.
It was a lot. The first day I came home and I just took a very long nap.
Good. That's good. That's good awareness.
No, the first, like, weekend of school, I remember I went to bed at, like, 10:30, and I got, like, 10 hours of sleep. I was so, so dead. I was so drained from, like, all, like, the social activity.
Yeah. That's so real. Do you guys think at all about how you're getting such a different high school experience than kids, you know, before you, who got to graduate 4 whole years without the pandemic interrupting them? Do you guys think at all about how much of your high school experience was disrupted by e-learning? Or is that not something you choose to focus on?
I guess, like I'd say, I try not to focus on it too much because really, like, I don't really see a different alternative. Like, it happened, but like the other alternative would just be having a normal school year, which I feel like wouldn't be much different except for like activities would still be going on. Or like I feel like I wasn't set back a lot. It was just put on pause, I guess, if that makes sense.
Yeah. What about you, Molly?
So I was actually talking about this with like my sister's husband last weekend, and he was kind of like, oh, like high school sucks. Like it's a fine time to have like kind of like messed up. And I was like, huh, like that's kind of interesting. But I've been thinking about it recently, like how in TV shows, like, oh, high school's so fun, blah, 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 blah. But with me, I'm like, I was saying earlier that I was like involved in yearbook. Like there was so many activities last year that were online, and it was just so annoying and just kind of like made me mad too about how like how Kelly was saying, like it was put on pause, but it was also like a continuation of your sophomore year. It didn't feel like a junior year.
Yeah, it didn't feel like a junior year at all.
Finish the whole thing
where I just like cut out and like just left right now, that was my entire last year, and it was so frustrating.
Yeah. Well, and I was going to ask you guys about, you know, like being seniors and being PE leaders and stuff, like that's a responsibility of a senior, but it's like, do you even feel like seniors? If you didn't feel like juniors, how can you feel, do you still feel like a sophomore inside? Like,
so I genuinely feel like, I don't necessarily feel like a sophomore, but I feel like a junior, I would say, because like we have all this like added stress now with like college applications and like rec letters and like FAFSA, like all of these new like stressors, and I genuinely don't feel like a senior. Like I'm still have like the whole high school loop like in my head, like, oh, like next year I can't, like I have to start thinking of themes for the yearbook, but I'm like, oh wait, this is my last year of yearbook. Like it's like this like weird loop that it's like in my head where it's like I'm a junior, but I'm not a junior, I'm a senior. And like last year we didn't really have any responsibility on us because our classes were online. It's like hard to have responsibility when you're online. And it didn't, like in our leaders class, it didn't feel like we were PE leaders. It felt like we were just like kids hanging out with their friends in gym class, like how it always is.
Oh, like senior leaders, like our gym class, they had activities that they would do together, like outside of school, like they'd have a breakfast they'd go to, they'd do like a team bonding thing at a nature park or something, and we just didn't get to do that.
I feel like you're typically a freshman experience is just like, what is happening? What is high school? Sophomore year, you kind of feel like you know what's going on a little bit. Junior year, you're working really, really hard with your eyes on college and what's next. But then senior year, you actually just know who you are a little bit more. You know who your friends are. And everything is like a chance for, well, this is the last time. This is the last homecoming. This is the last yearbook I'm going to work on. And so you're just kind of more present and you care less what people think of you. This is like typically the arc of a high school student as I've seen them develop. But this weird thing happened where, like, do you know who your real friends are? Do you know who you are and where you want to go to college? Or did this whole, like, being stuck in your house on Zoom calls that drop in and out really disrupt some of you guys, like, figuring some of that stuff out?
I think it disrupted college searching because last year, since my mind was everywhere else, I feel like I didn't think about it as much or didn't think about how quickly it was approaching. Mm. And then also, like, you couldn't go visit colleges last year. So I feel like I'm just starting my, like, college search in terms of looking at them this summer. And so, I don't know, it just feels really all crumped together rather than being a full year of, you know, pre-college.
Yeah, definitely. Molly, what about you? Do you feel like you're just like you figured out all the things you would have wanted to figure out by the time you got to your senior year?
Honestly, no, because I felt like I was going to be a lot more planned out with my college stuff. I'm really not super planned out with it as of the moment. And I feel like I would have everything finalized. I would like start applying to schools and whatnot. But now it just feels like a big ball of stress and just a lot of like added pressure on you. And I feel like if we had kind of like a normal junior year, it would have eased it a lot more, because last year, a lot of the teachers and like a lot of the counselors were kind of focused on the seniors and their college hunt. And they weren't really asking us about our college hunt. They were just kind of asking us like, oh, what classes do you want to take next year? Or like, how are you doing in your classes? It's just like kind of very like, not fake. I don't know the right, like kind of like artificial, like kind of phony. And it was just very annoying, because like now we're kind of getting all of this college stuff slammed at us, which we could have had it kind of like at like a good subtle pace. So just very aggravating to deal with.
Yeah, I can definitely imagine that being, it's already overwhelming, right? It's already an overwhelming process. And then to have it be very shortened, like you're saying, Kelly, like all in one summer before your senior year, or thrown at you all at once, like you're saying, Molly, that's a lot for something that's already hard. Do you guys, we've mentioned stress a couple times. Do you guys feel like everyone in your life that's a teenager is really stressed right now? Or do you have some friends that kind of seem to have a pretty good outlook on things and they help calm you down when you're stressed? Like, what is mental health like in your friend groups right now?
I think it's definitely getting better. I'd say most people are stressed about the college hunt, and that's putting a lot of stress on people. And I know some people are stressed about going back to normal. Like, I have friends who, like, when we were going back, like, full back to school, everyone, they, like, felt really anxious about that. But I feel like overall it's more hopeful than it is like something bad. So I think it's definitely getting better.
The whole college thing with my friends is honestly very toxic, if I'm being quite honest, because they honestly only care about prestige and like if it's like a top 25 school. So it's a very toxic environment for me right now. And I try to, like, not really, like, talk about it as much, or, like, I'm trying to, like, drift off and, like, talk to other people and, like, just, like, them in general. It's just, like, not the best environment for me, because it's just, like, they only care about their statistics. They don't really care, like, how they are as people. Like, that sounds kind of mean and harsh, but it's kind of, like, the reality of it. And, like, they only care about, like, prestige, as I was saying before, and, like, kind of, like, this, like, artificial sense of college. Like, they don't really, like, value the actual college they want to go to. They just want, like, the top 25 and, like, the selective, like, nature of it. And it's just...
Yeah, I agree with that, because I was thinking about this the other day, that, like, so many people are worried about being exactly what a college wants in order for them to get in, but it's supposed to be like the college wants you, like you as a person. Your person shouldn't be reflective of the college. The college should choose you based on who you are, regardless of which college you're applying to or like your statistics. So I don't know, it's just like kind of like one big loop, and it's a little ironic, but yeah.
Yeah, and sometimes what happens when students are really focused on being something they're not because they think an important college might like them better if they're this other version of themselves, what happens is they get there and then encounter that, like that false life falls apart when they're on campus because it wasn't like authentic. It was kind of false. And then so many kids transfer after their first years, you know? Which is not a sign of failure. It's not like you did it wrong. It's just, I think sometimes we listen to like voices that aren't, you know, it's just trying to help us be something other than who we really are. You know, it's like you have to be a top 25 college, or you have to go Ivy League, or you have to get this scholarship. And what if that's not really where you, like, you as an individual are going to thrive?
Yeah.
And that can just be, it can just like waste time when we don't slow down and listen to the right voices and think about who we really are, like, as individuals and what we really want. We can end up in the wrong spot, and then you've just kind of wasted a year a little bit. It's, yeah, transferring after freshman years happens all the time, and it's a really like hard process I think students go through, and they're never thinking about that alternative when they're like, oh, well, I must go to Harvard because everybody goes to Harvard, you know, that would be impressive, I must go to Harvard, and they get there and they hate it, you know?
Yeah, I feel like it's like reapplying to a college.
It is, yeah.
It's so stressful, like I don't want to do it again.
Another thing that puts pressure on it is the parents, I'm going to be honest. Because I feel like a lot of these parents have these like insane complexes where it's like they want their child to like be this like find like the cure to cancer or something, be this like in like I don't know, like to be some like a Greek god almost, like they want them to be like a Greek god, like absolutely perfect and everything, and it just like makes no sense because like no one's perfect, and like it kind of like bites you back, I can't say the word, bites you back in the butt when you're a lot older, and it kind of just like you never like realize like failure, I feel like, because this is a lot with my friends, like they've never really like they don't really know what failure is, and like they have like such immense fear of like rejection too, and because like their parents have like made them to believe like they're some like Greek god being this like perfect person in quotations.
Kelly, what do you think parents need to know? Like, let's say one of the listeners is like a parent of a younger high school student. Like, what would you want a parent to know or keep in mind as they're thinking about what their high school kids are going through?
I'd say tell them to like be chill. Like, If a student like wants to put off his homework until Sunday, let them. Like, they need that Friday and Saturday to like just de-stress. And then also I would say get involved, because then you're going to find your passion. If you get involved in enough, you'll find what you like and what you don't like. And then you won't be worried about like your parents telling you, oh, you should do this, oh, you should do that. Like, find what you like for yourself.
That's really good advice. I heard someone say that asking young people, and I think they probably meant younger than seniors in high school, but asking young people, what do you want to be when you grow up, is a really damaging question, because people learn really early what the acceptable answers to that question are and what the not so acceptable answers to that question are. And it can really get you stuck thinking that, well, there's only these five jobs that mean anything. But maybe a better question to ask is like, what gets you excited? What are you passionate about? Because if you can answer that now as a senior, that's really good. Cause then you'll know as you're starting out college, what things are aligned with your passions. And that will eventually lead to some kind of job. That's just how life works, right? But you don't have to know like in these concrete terms right now, like what your job's going to be. And it's really damaging to teach kids from a really young age, like, oh, you don't know. You're 14. You don't know what you want to be when you grow up. Oh, sad for you.
I'm very thankful that I'm pretty sure I know what I want to do, but I think that's because I got involved in so much that I, like, slowly figured it out and found something that I really like. But then, like, when I'm with my friends and, like, an adult, like, a parent asks us, like, oh, what do you want to do? I have some friends who are, like, don't even start with me. I can't even answer that yet. And so like when people ask that, I don't say anything because I don't want to put pressure on them. And that's so good. And it's like, you don't have to be on a certain timeline. Like, you don't have to go to college for 4 years. You could go for longer. You could take a gap year. Just like finding what you love to do shouldn't have a timeline.
Yeah. I think that's really wise. And I think it's really wise to step back and ask questions about what kind of timeline somebody gives us. You know, I think society for a long time has kind of, our Western culture has kind of developed around some timelines, right? Like this is when you do this, and this is when you do this, and this is when you do this. And, you know, we're all women. And so societally that was like, you'll get married and you make babies and you stay at home and this is what you do. And so there's a lot of pushback on that and a lot has changed, but I think we should ask questions about the timelines that were given. And, you know, the timeline that was given to my parents was like, you pick a career and you get one shot. You know, my dad worked for one company his whole life. And the data right now on that is so different. You know, you guys will probably change jobs. I just heard a stat on this, like your generation of college grads in the next, like, you know, 4 or 5 years will probably change jobs every 2 years. And that will be not only like normal, it'll be encouraged. Like that'll be part of you guys, your generation developing and growing and learning new skills because it's just different. You know, you could graduate with like an engineering degree and work in like so many different kinds of engineering. It's not just like, and you work for this one company until you die.
Yeah, my boyfriend, her mom, she got a degree in urban planning and has never used it once. She's in like customs and national security.
Like, wow.
That's so polar opposites. It's just very interesting.
Yeah, yeah. So I think something that probably makes your parents nervous or parents and teachers right now nervous is how comfortable you guys are with having no timeline and figuring it out. I bet that makes adults in your life nervous, but I think it's actually such a sign of so much awareness and growth about how things actually are. It would be naive for you to be like, I have to get this one degree and work at this one company until retirement, because if that was your plan and then that's not how life works really anymore, that'd be, if something goes wrong, it's like Molly was saying about never experiencing failure. If something goes wrong on your plan, you're like,
yeah,
all three of us are very talking with our hands people, so we're having whole conversations the listeners will never know about. I just did this gesture of like, you know,
yeah,
be blown, you won't know what to do, and only you two knew what I was saying.
Yeah,
did my audio cut out at all?
Sure did. Yeah,
sure. I saw Molly start laughing, and that's when I was just like, well, whatever.
I know. With the problem, Kelly, is like you're saying so, like, it's always when you're like gonna say something really thoughtful, and the microphone is just like, I can't handle this right now, this is too much truth. So, I love it. So, I am really encouraged by the awareness that you guys have about finding your purpose and passion being the priority, not attaining some kind of status. That's really encouraging. And it shows that you guys are paying attention to some important things about what the purpose of college and growing up and graduating high school is all about. I'm encouraged that mental health seems to be something that you and your friends are talking about, that you're aware of anxiety and when things seem to be getting a little lighter and more hopeful and when things are stressful. You guys have your friend communities and you guys have the church community. When you think about, like, you're about to be like young adults, so that's crazy. When you think about becoming a young adult and just like being a young adult in the world, do you think things are going to get better in our culture and world as a whole? Do you have a lot of hope? Do you have a lot of fear? Do you have a lot of questions? Like, when you think about entering the world as a young adult, what kinds of things come up for you?
The only thing that I think scares me, I guess, is that I feel like older generations than us don't usually think about mental health and how it plays a role, or such a big role, in our lives today. So like entering into the job world and having a career, and like if something happens, or like something happens with your mental state, like, and they don't understand it, that kind of scares me a little bit. Like over the summer I worked so much. And it was just so draining. I had 3 jobs. I worked at the mall, I babysat, and then I helped with U.S. Lacrosse Associations. And towards when school was starting, I was like, I just can't do it. This is so much. And so I texted my manager, and I was like, my mental health is so bad right now. Is there any way I can take like 2 weeks off, just some time off? Like, I just need a break. I'm so burnt out. And she was like, yes, of course. I totally get that. That happens to me all the time. And I just felt such relief because I did not expect that coming from her. So I don't know. It was just very, very nice.
Yeah. I would never would have thought of that. Like, the fear of, will your employer respond to your vulnerability around mental health in a way that validates your experience? That's a really important thing for employers out there to be listening to.
And I feel like with like corporate America too, like, they just like kind of value as like a machine, not as a person, and they don't really care about your thoughts and feelings really. Because at my brother's company, our grandpa recently passed like a month ago, and they only gave him like one or two days off, and then he had to take a third day off and do like a work from home day. And he just started with this company back in June, so he's been there for like 2 months, but he only had 2 days off and like a work from home day he could use. And it's like, you don't have grief for just 3 days. Like, it's just like limitless. Like, it will always it doesn't have a defined dates that it goes to. Mm-hmm. So it's just kind of like annoying where it's like they just only like value like your working and your how many hours you log or whatever, and like not your actual like brains, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Or like well-being. Yeah.
Your well-being, yeah.
My teacher's telling me, like, if you can't make a deadline because of mental health or just like overwhelming stuff you have after school, like, just tell them and they'll give you an extension. Like, they understand that things happen. They understand like your mental health changes a lot. And they were just like, just come talk to me and I can give you an extension. So it was really nice.
Yeah, that's so good. I'm glad teachers are responding to that.
And I feel like I've never heard them say that before, like, include the mental health part. And so yeah. That I really liked. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm sure if you've been in that experience where like you're coming up on a deadline, you, whatever happened that, you know, you're really overwhelmed or you're really stressed about something, and trying to get anything productive done in that state of being really upset is pointless, right? It's not going to be a good essay if you're trying to get it done when you're not feeling well, and when you're not in a good place. So like taking that moment and just like resetting the next day could be such a game changer. Go teachers. Yeah. That's smart. Okay. So I know Molly has a lot of homework to do. I have two last questions and hopefully they'll be quick. One is, do you feel like having a connection to our church and a faith community, having a relationship with God, has helped you in some way, like that you could name, or even if it's hard to put words to, has having a faith helped you through this last experience of, you know, the way COVID has turned our worlds upside down?
I feel like it definitely has, because in this last year, like, you especially, Amanda, like, we've always had like youth group online, or we've tried our best like in person to have it like outside or inside with masks on. So like, it knows like you know, and like Josh knows like how we just like we need that kind of like, not like, I don't know the right word for it, but like kind of like a base, like kind of like a base, and like just we can always like touch back to you guys, and like we know you guys are always there, and it's just like, it's very like reassuring and like very like great, like very like awesome, like you guys are always there for us, like and like especially with technology now, like we could just like text you guys like in an instant too, like, oh, can we meet over on Zoom or something, or like
right.
Go grab Starbucks or whatnot. So just very like reassuring.
Yeah.
As I hold up my Starbucks cup.
It's a great connection. And also I feel like this past year with everything happening, like when we did get to go into church and I heard Josh's sermons, a lot of them were finding like the light in the darkness, which was so good to hear.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I think That's kind of why I asked you guys how you felt about, like, are you hopeful? Because I don't know what to do if we can't find hope. Like, I just don't, how do you get from one day to the next? So yeah. I'm glad that your faith and our community has helped offer some of that. I like that imagery of like a home base, Molly, like that touch point that you can come to when the world and your home or your school is all crazy, that like this is a touch point for light in the darkness. I really like that. Do you guys have any final things that you would tell adults or younger kids or people on the internet about what it's like to be a senior right now? Any final
thoughts? This is mostly towards like adults and parents, but like always like try to make sure, like always ask your kid, like, are you okay? Like, are you all right? Like, do you want to talk? Or like, just always be there for them and always be like kind of like a shoulder to lean on, because it's just very reassuring to have, especially in this like rough year and a half, to like know that someone has that.
I'd also say, like, if we're giving advice to parents at the moment, like encourage children to describe their emotions more. If they just say good or fine, like ask more questions, like get more in depth with your conversation. Don't like make it seem like you're making them tell you about their day. Like just yeah. like be personable, I guess, or be like more.
You guys are wonderful. Thank you so much for taking time, even when you have homework to do.
Of course. Thanks
for coming to a church podcast.
Thank you for having us.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Well, if you loved today's conversation, we really hope you will leave us a comment or a review. Let people know you are listening to the Park Ridge Presby podcast. That is how we can help share stories and help make a difference in our community. We encourage you to follow us on Instagram and YouTube. We are at Park Ridge Presby on all platforms.